The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. We've come to the end of the liturgical year, which is sort of the ritual celebration of the fulfillment of creation, the end of the world, which is why we celebrate the feast of Christ the King of the universe. It's unspeakably beautiful, I think, that, well, maybe it's not unspeakably because I'm speaking, but it's very beautiful that on the feast of Christ the King, we are reminded once again what Christ's kingship looks like. Which is why on this, in which we celebrate the triumph of Jesus Christ as Lord and King of all creation, we are brought back once again to the cross. All right, there's a deep irony in the fact that the Jews who rejected Jesus and the Romans who crucified him, that while trying to mock him, they finally actually recognized Jesus Christ as King. And in so doing, unwittingly revealed what kind of kingship Jesus Christ came to establish. Right? So they mockingly clothe him in purple, the color of kings. They crown him with a crown of thorns, a crown of suffering. And they nail him to a cross with a sign that says, "The King of the Jews." And of course, they meant this as a sort of a mockery, as a sort of reviling. But they, in fact, despite themselves, did reveal Jesus Christ as King and revealed what kind of king he was. And what a scandalous revelation. And what a scandalous revelation. St. Paul says that Jews seek signs and Greeks seek wisdom, right? The Jews are looking for manifestations of God's power, and the Greeks are looking for wisdom about how to live the good life, right? How to live the happy life. He says, "But we preach Jesus Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles." Right? And if you were to have a first person perspective of Jesus Christ crucified, how would this not be a stumbling block? How could you not look upon it and see foolishness? How could you not look upon it and see humiliation and defeat? And there's a sense which the people almost reject this sort of salvation. They say, "This is not the Messiah we were looking for. We were looking for somebody to manifest God's power, to assert himself in establishing a new worldly order and restoring God's people to their rightful place of power and freedom. And this is what we get. We get a man stripped naked and beaten and nailed to a cross." Now, the truth is, we are still scandalized by the kind of kingship that Jesus came to establish. Right? Maybe not in the same way. We've had 2,000 years of reflecting on the crucified Lord and developing a theology around it. And, we've grown up all of our lives seeing the crucifix. So maybe we don't quite have the same sense of like failure and shame and humiliation when we look on a crucified Lord. So what do I mean when I say that we are still as scandalized by the kind of kingship that Jesus came to establish? I say this because for each of us, our path to salvation, which is to say, our path to intimate communion with the Lord, is through the cross. And the Lord invites each of us to share in his suffering on the cross, The Lord invites each of us to take up our own cross. And that suffering joyfully embraced so that we might unite ourselves with Christ, who united himself with us to suffer for us, that is our path to salvation. That is our path to holiness. That is our path to union with the Lord. But very often when we're presented with the cross, we want to reject it. Very often when presented with the cross, our temptation is to be angry with the Lord, to feel let down, to feel disappointed. We may even be tempted to revile and reject our crucified Lord, saying, "This is not the salvation that I asked for. I pray every day, my soul cries out in darkness, and you offer me suffering. This is not the salvation I asked for. This is not the Savior I want." But brothers and sisters, reality is a stubborn thing, right? Facts are stubborn things. Reality is a stubborn thing. And if we doubt that the cross is the path to intimacy with the Lord, our experience verifies that fact. Our experience, if we reflect on it, if we look at it honestly and prayerfully, our experience proves to us that the cross is the path of salvation, the path to intimacy with the Lord. Because in that moment of temptation, right, and what a temptation it is, right? If the cross is how we are most closely united with the Lord, how we most die to ourselves and become saints, it's perfectly devious for the evil one to tempt us precisely at that point, right? Because it's at the point of suffering that we're tempted to turn away. And how often do we turn away from the cross? And the cross can be a lot of things. It can be, you know, it can be sickness. It can be dealing with suffering and death. It can be the loss of a job and uncertainty about our future. Very often the cross is the struggle for virtue, right? The struggle to be good, the struggle to be faithful to the gospel, which always requires death to self, which always requires a painful growth and a suffering that sometimes we simply want to run away from. But our experience teaches us that if we reject the cross, if we turn from it, if we take the easy path, if we take the broad path, right, if we embrace a love of self, a selfishness, a comfort in this world, then in fact, we grow distant from the Lord. Our love for him grows cold, right? Scales grow onto our eyes and we become less able to see truth. We become less able to see reality as it really is, right? Our conscience becomes deadened and numbed and our hope becomes less and less on him and on his kingdom and on the things of this world. Our experience tells us this. Our experience also tells us that when we accept the cross joyfully and are willing to suffer with our crucified King, we grow in hope. We grow in our love for Jesus Christ and in our desire to be with him. Right, we grow in virtue. We grow in knowledge of the truth. Right, we enter more deeply into union with the Lord to the point where almost our suffering can, in a spiritual way, become an experience of sweetness because we've united ourselves to the Lord, who unites himself to us and gives himself to us so fully as to pour himself out on the cross. So even if we're scandalized by the salvation that Jesus offers, right, we say, "I don't want suffering. I don't want a crucified king. I want a king who's going to fix all my problems. Right? I want a king who's going to put to death everything that's causing me to struggle. I don't want this kind of savior." But our experience tells us that if we accept the cross, we're accepting the kingship of Jesus, and we grow closer to him. If we reject the cross, we're rejecting the kingship, right? Because essentially every time that we reject the cross that's given to us, every time we choose the selfish path or the easy path or the non-painful path, we're essentially denying that Jesus Christ is King of my life. And so, brothers and sisters, on the feast of Christ the King, we have really a beautiful image of the two options that lie before us when we're presented with our cross and our opportunity to claim Jesus Christ, our crucified Lord, as King, right? We can, like the one criminal, revile Jesus and bitterly demand that we be taken down from the cross. Or, with trust, with self-abandonment, with love, we can simply turn to our crucified Lord and say, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."